Hi, Robert.
Hi, Aaron.
So last week we talked about ingenuism in education, and one of the things we said last week is there's a lot more to talk about, and we thought we'd follow up on some points we made last time that I probably need clarification, and I'm sure we'll keep coming back to this topic in the months and years to come. So. Noah Smith, the kind of economist, left of center economist who publishes a regular Substack, wrote yesterday about math education in California. And it raised some interesting issues that relate to kind of what we talked about last time. The state, in order to deal with perceived inequality, you know, we'll put aside the question of whether it's real, perceived, or what exactly is going on, but is trying to mandate that kids try to exclude algebra from kids the sixth grade and above, and not allow them to enroll in those classes in an attempt to prevent some kids from getting too far ahead. At least that's the one interpretation of it. The alternative is an educational proposal that the proponents of this idea have pushed for, and that is to kind of let kids in some way discover algebra for themselves and let kids advance at their own pace. And so tell us a little bit about what you've been hearing about new math and how it's being taught, and then we can talk about how that relates to ingenuism.
Yeah, the new math. You know, I saw an article maybe a week ago. It was my first time I got any of the details on the new California math curriculum. And of course, the education proponents had a one view, and the math professionals, including educators, had a pretty different view, at least as it was laid out in this article. And so putting aside the motivations, I don't really know the motivations, but this seems like a terrible idea, and yet, if you don't look too closely, it seems like it's very close to what we were talking about last week, which is education shouldn't be just about answering the questions that the teachers propose, or even worse, trying to figure out how to score high on the test, and that's it, that's all that matters. Education should be something that nurtures all different types of learning, the learning of existing facts, the answering of new questions, the discovery of new questions. And all of that, you know, together is all put under the umbrella of what we call learning. And it's, I think, very useful to apply in the ingenuism framework to that, to get some distinction about what's going on, what's important, and what would actually work. So if we look at new math, the proposal is, yes, to, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, but the thing that has caught the most attention is to not start teaching structured algebra in middle school, with the idea that, yes, students shouldn't be forced to learn algebra, they should be given the opportunity to discover it. That is kind of cool in a sense, but we have to dig deeper, because if you look at the ingenuism framework, the rate at which a student would progress is the product of how connected they are to the existing body of insights and knowledge, and how much they're learning in conjunction with that. So for an individual, learning the existing facts about math is being connected to the existing body of knowledge. So there's a whole bunch of insights, and into algebra itself is an insight about how the world works and a way to model the world. And if you do not connect students to those existing insights, you're basically setting them at square one. Now, if we were infinitely lived, maybe that would be a good idea. Maybe let everyone discover all of human knowledge of it. But that's absolutely not the case. We know
that inefficient. Even if you're infinitely lived, it seems unbelievably inefficient. I mean, it took humanity tens of thousands of years to get to the point where algebra was discovered and developed. Let kids develop new math, right? Real new math, right? Why have them rediscover something that we already know? This is why connection is so valuable, right? Because we don't have to rediscover every truth anew.
And that's exactly right. And if you focus too much on, so our argument last week was that conventional education focuses too much on the learning of existing facts. And that is a particular type of learning. And that is, you know, in a genuine sense, we call it connection. It's really important, but that itself doesn't create any progress. That just spreads existing knowledge. If nobody does anything with the existing knowledge, then you don't get anywhere. The power of connection is that when the existing knowledge spreads, then you've got 8 billion people who can do something with the existing knowledge, and you get amazing results out of that. This sort of flips it around and says, all we're going to worry about is connection, even though they're calling it learning. It really is connection. It's in the ingenuism framework, it's 100% connection. And we're going to ignore any sort of learning.
The exploration.
The exploration in conjunction with that. We're going to de-emphasize that. And because, you know, we're going to not worry about the connection, and then we're going to just see what people can do in a vacuum is essentially what's being said. And, you know, I'm all in favor of occasionally that being the way that students are educated, being, you know, put in a position where they have to come up with the questions and then they have to answer the questions. But that is, as you used, is highly inefficient. That is not the best way to learn. It's a combination, because progress is a product of the two. So you need to have the connection, which is, I think, being ignored in the new math curriculum. And you also need to have discovery and exploration, which I think is being ignored in most of the universal education system. And until we bring both of them together and figure out what the right proportions are at different times for different students at different ages and different subjects, it's a complex question. Everyone's looking for simple answers. But it's just ironic that a week after we were talking about how the education system neglects exploration discovery, we get this new curriculum that completely neglects connection.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something I said last week about Montessori, because Montessori, I think, has that balance down. I mean, what the toys, the perceived as toys, are constructed in a way as there is a right answer, and the teacher knows what the right answer is, right? The design of the toy knows what the right answer is, and the whole idea is that the student will then engage in exploration in the direction of the right answer and ultimately find the right answer. But they're discovering it, but it's not that they're discovering it for the first time. They're guided to that by the instrument that they're using. And that's the beauty of the methodology, that it's guided exploration, guided not randomly, you know, do whatever, but guided in the direction of connection, guided in the direction of existing truths that we know are real, that we don't have to rediscover the wheel, that we know it's there. But the kid for himself makes it his truth, his knowledge, by discovering it for himself, guided by the teacher. And one of the ideas is that education needs to be more about guiding students along the path to this discovery of the existing body of knowledge, rather than just a data dump, right, where the teacher just dumps the data in front of them.
And so it seems like the existing curriculums are vacillating between, you know, very standardized tests, lots of rigorous work, lots of facts, and the much more loosey-goosey, let them go at their own pace, let them. Yeah. But what you really need is an extraordinarily well-designed curriculum, along the lines of Montessori, but at all ages, for all students, for all subjects, that guides them without making it all about learning the existing facts. And it's not that they're a fourth grader is unlikely to create new math ideas, but you're laying the foundation so that fourth grader, when they're 10 or 15 years older, is actually in a position where they have the best chance to be accomplishing that. And the education—
they're learning a process, the process exploration, they're learning to use their minds in discovery. It's discovering facts that are already known, but that process will work for them, you know, in their adulthood, to discover new things.
And they're learning to do it in a way that is inherently pleasing. You know, our assertion is that people are naturally curious, they're naturally ambitious, they have a lot of characteristics that naturally lend to their survival. They've been bred into us by evolution, but that existing schooling is not paying attention to fostering that. I have a nephew who is, you know, taking math in elementary school, and they are having them learn different ways to look at mathematical concepts. So you can do things graphically, you can do things algebraically, you can do things numerically. There are different ways that people think about all topics, but in particular math, there's ways that resonate with people. So you hear that, and I think, isn't that awesome? It's great. They're letting each student discover what works for them, you know, in their way of thinking, and they're exposing them to everything. So it's not that they're missing out on something that is even more aligned with, with how they want to think, but they're not getting stuck in something that is just one size fits all. And then I hear that in their homework, they're required to solve each problem using all six methods. And this is going on indefinitely.
Yeah.
And that just blows my mind, because the whole point of the discovery is to find a useful insight. In this case, it's how does it best work for me to attack these types of math problems? And then you have to go and then use that. Once you've discovered it, you use it. And of course, you know, my personal experience was seventh grade math, where I was in advanced math, and the teacher had a notebook that you had to keep of all of your math work. And I never kept the notebook. I just didn't. It didn't seem important. I was not interested. And so I got a D in seventh grade math. And I hated it. Yeah. And I was just lucky that I got a ninth grade math teacher that, you know,
was quiet. You'd have a notebook.
It didn't require me, but required me to basically derive the Euclidean geometry from the core concepts. And that's not for everybody. I'm not, some people, the notebook is what they need.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for me. And I was just fortunate that I got into a class that allowed that. And putting, you know, the menu of what you could possibly do with math in front of people and letting them figure out their own way, it's something that would work, I think, extraordinarily well if you had a one-on-one tutor. But in a 30-person classroom, the curriculum just takes shortcuts, and the shortcuts destroy all the value.
Yeah, it reminds me of this idea that different people approach math differently. It reminds me of Newton and Leibniz, who both developed calculus independently, but completely differently. I mean, the way we do calculus today is the Leibniz method, you know, with equations. And Newton was very much, from what I've read, was very much a viewed everything in terms of geometry. And for him, it was all about the geometric approach, both to physics and to mathematics. So his calculus, the way he developed it, is completely different than Leibniz, even though they come to exactly the same conclusions and the theories. And Newton probably couldn't have done what he did if he had been forced into a different framework. I mean, you know, this is the particular way his mind worked. So it's a good illustration of the fact that we're not all the same in this perspective. An educational system is standardized around sameness, and that I think is part of the tragedy.
And that is a great example, because I very clearly recall the moment that calculus clicked for me as a senior in high school, was when I realized that it was just these infinite geometric shapes that behaved in a way that was consistent with whatever we were trying to analyze. And that, you know, the fact it wasn't exact would all go away in the limit. And it was like an entire world opened up to me in that moment. And, you know, it doesn't happen for everyone, but maybe
for me, it was just a way to manipulate. I figured out how you manipulate the equations to get a good grade. And that's what I did. And calculus was easy, because I figured out how to do the equations, and it wasn't that hard. It was kind of a puzzle more than anything else. And I kind of understood what it was, but it never really clicked in that sense.
Yeah. And the education system, even a good education system, is not currently set up to look for that click. basically, if you're getting a good score on the test, you're happy, the teacher's happy, and we can all go home. But there's another level, and we sort of stumble into it where we stumble into it, but that's the future of education, is developing a system that really nurtures people to get to that level of understanding where they're fully connected with that body of existing knowledge, and then they're prepared to go off and do amazing things with it.
Yeah, and I that's absolutely right. And I'll go back to another idea with ingenuism, and that is that it's going to be very difficult to get to that point with a centralized system. So this is all being dictated, this math education being dictated by a central California authority saying, this is how thou shalt teach math. And what we need is a lot of experimentation. What we need is teachers having the freedom and the motivation to actually experiment on what works for them in the classroom.
Yeah, sometimes people ask me, because you know I'm very passionate about this, and they'll say, what should we be doing? And I'll be, I don't know. Like, we should be trying different things in a way that minimizes the downside, maximizes the learning, and making sure that the best things that we're learning spread as quickly as possible. And the education system is absolutely not set up to do that. You know, historically it was fragmented, so things didn't spread quickly. There was lots of experimentation, and now it's very centralized. There tends to be very little experimentation. There's, you know, enormous educational bureaucracies that are the antithesis of what we need to discover what's next. Absolutely. But, you know, there are new tools, you know, AI, maybe educating our children and whispering in their ears all these terrible things about us.
I can't wait for the AI revolution to actually manifest itself in the world out there. We're seeing just the beginning, but it's exciting.
Yes, and I think this is the place where it could make the biggest difference.
What we need is to make sure that the bureaucracy doesn't fight it off. But I think this might be the technology that finally challenges the educational bureaucracy. And that allows for real freedom in education.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. All right. We will talk next week. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Jaron. Take care. Bye.